Let me add to the welcome that's already been given this morning. We certainly do appreciate you being here. We have a wonderful crowd. I'm very thankful that you have chosen to come and be with us and have the opportunity to study once again from God's inspired Word. Before we enter into our lesson this morning, we have one matter of business that we need to take care of. Sister Virginia Mullinax is with us this morning. And she says that she has not been faithful, and she has been going to services somewhere else, but not as she should have been. And she wants to be back at Adamsville. She said, "I'm going to be here. This is home." And I'm certainly glad to hear that. Certainly not glad to hear that she hasn't been going as she should have. But she wants the prayers of the church. I've asked Brother Gary for our elders to lead us in a word of prayer on behalf of Sister Mullinax. And Gary, if you come.
Our Father God, we are so thankful for your wonderful mercy, for your saving grace. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that we have redemption. And that because of that, because of your Son, that one of these days we can be in heaven with you. We're extremely thankful, and our hearts are glad that Sister Mullinax has decided to come back and be a part of this congregation. We're so thankful for her and for her life given in your service. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will forgive her for her not being faithful, and help her, Father, to be faithful again. Help her, Father, so that she can be here in your service. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with her, heal her of any sickness that she might have, that she will be well and able to do that. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that if she has any other sin against her, that you will remove it, and that her slate will be clean, and that she will give Christ as a son. Go with us to this service and be with Ronnie, Father, as he presents. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. While I am kind of introducing this lesson, you may want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to kind of use this as a text this morning, and I'm going to make some points off of it, but we're not going to spend all of our time here. We've been looking at building and building on fundamentals of character and creed and upon the church. Last week we introduced the subject of tools, and we noticed that love is the greatest thing that we have. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Brethren, if there's anything we need to work on any greater than building this relationship of love between us as brethren, I don't know what it is. Now, we can sit and argue, and a lot of times we do. And I don't mind differences of opinions on the scriptures as long as we can arrive at the same conclusion. But when we can disagree, we ought to do it in love. I ought not come away from a discussion with David in relationship to the Holy Spirit and love David less because of a discussion that we've had in the Holy Spirit. Right? It just shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be a situation where the only time that we can show our love toward each other is, and I meant to mention the three families, the yielding family, Judy Clendenin and her family, and Sandra and her family in relationship to these three deaths. You know, we have these three families that in a period of 4 days, there are three deaths that affect our congregation. And you know, over about the last 10 days, that's what we've been looking at. And let me say to every one of you, if we have failed you in any way, it'll hurt our hearts. It'll hurt our hearts. Why? Because we love you. We don't say that because, I don't say that because the ownership pays me to say that. I don't say that just because it's a formality. I say it because I mean it. We're going to move from love today. And we're going to talk about another subject that's so, so important. And I know I have a tendency to be long-winded, so I'm going to do my best not to be long-winded. I'm looking on it. I told him I'd pay him back for his comment. Not only do we need to use the tool of love to build the body of Christ the way we ought to, listen to me and listen very clearly. There has to be a sense of loyalty. There has to be a sense of loyalty. One of the things I love about Sister Virginia Mullinax this morning is she said, "This is home to me." You know what that, I said, that's loyalty. That's loyalty. I don't know. I can look out over this audience and I can pick out several that have been here as long as I can remember. And I go back to 1965 or so, or maybe even before then. And you're here for a reason. And it is not just simply because we teach the truth. And if we fail to do that, then we have failed miserably. But there's also a sense of loyalty. When this eldership hired me, you know, June will complete 12 years. When this eldership hired me, my little brother called me. And he said, "It's about time there's a haze back at Adamsville." What did he mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what he meant by that. Mother and Daddy sit right there on the same seat where Sydney's sitting, except on this end. Mom and Papa Hayes sit about where Sandy was sitting. That's heritage. That's family. I remember carrying on Sunday afternoons with Papa Hayes, Mama Hayes, and they got me to go with them, and we carried the communion around the people who couldn't get out. And he carried me for one reason, and I thank him so much for that. That was to encourage me to be involved. He wanted me to lead singing. What a terrible job I did. Terrible. And he never said a single solitary negative word. He just picked me up when I fell flat on my face and the singing went on. How many of you can relate similar stories about right here? Well, I know you can, because I see some of you who have grown up right here. Let's talk about loyalty today. Do you know that in the United States of America there are over 150,000 miles of train tracks? 150,000 miles of train tracks. I can put a train on a track here in Birmingham, Alabama, and I can put it on the right track and it's going to Memphis, Tennessee. Or I can put it on another track and it's going to Nashville, Tennessee. Or I can put another one headed east and it's going to Atlanta, Georgia. But when that train gets off of the track, when it derails, you've got huge problems. I can just visualize in my mind ABC or CBS or NBC or whatever, the morning shows, and there's been a train wreck in Nashville or Atlanta or Memphis or Birmingham or whatever. And all of the emergency people that show up to have to help in that situation. And then it's weeks, if not months, before they can get huge cranes in there. They have to rebuild the tracks. They have to fix the trains if they're going to put them back on the track. Then they take this huge crane and they set it on there. Finally, it's back on there again. In a warped sense this morning, somehow I thought about loyalty when I was thinking about these things. Because a lot of times as Christians we get off track, don't we? I put some notes in the handout. Many reasons why people get off track. I could spend all my time this morning, and as a matter of fact, I thought this might have been maybe even a better lesson to talk about the things that derail us. You can talk about discouragement. Who doesn't get discouraged? Who doesn't get discouraged? What about personal problems? How many of us as a family have sat in a hospital and heard a doctor come in and say it's cancer? You know how low you felt that day? How disturbed, how alone you felt? What about the loss of jobs in the economy we have today? What does it do to a man or a woman that's trying to support families? And I heard, just talking to another preacher just this past week, he said, I'm meeting somebody for lunch. He lost his job last week. He made a mistake. And they fired him. I don't know what that feels like. I don't want to know what that feels like. But how does that affect our loyalty? Divorce? What about things that plague our society, such as drugs, alcohol? You know, you can go on and on and on and list all type of things that attack us personally. How does that affect our loyalty toward God? What about somebody's going to say something to you that's going to hurt your feelings? I wish I could ask for a raising of hand this morning. Everybody's ever had their feelings hurt at church. Here I am. Let's start with me. Well, may I ask you a question? Why are you still here? Why are you still here? Why didn't you get mad and leave? Because hundreds, thousands have gotten mad and left. Why are you here? Then there are those who unfortunately fall back into bad habits. Maybe they were an alcoholic when they obeyed the gospel and they got back on track. And they're going down that straight and narrow track and then all of a sudden they're derailed again. I called a brother's name that I can't tell you how many times I shook his hand as he walked down the aisle. And on more than one occasion would reek with the smell of alcohol as tears streamed down his cheek. He knew what he had done. But he was fighting a demon. Did we fall back into those old habits of lying and stealing and cheating? Or maybe it's just this situation where in our class, we were studying in Matthew chapter 22 this morning in verse 39, where Christ said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Maybe it's just that they didn't understand. I could give you names of individuals that obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and shortly thereafter, they fell away. They got off the track. Their hearts were good. They were sincere when they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for some reason or the other, you look back and they're back into the ways of the world. What's happened? As one guy said, it just wasn't what I thought it would be. What did you think it was going to be? When we come together to worship God, You know, this doesn't change from week to week. We sing. We pray. We give of our means. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We study God's inspired Word. We worship God the Father. Why? Because the Bible says to. Christ Himself said, "In Him only shalt thou worship." Well, here you go. What do we do? Why? How do we get off track? Well, there's a lot of reasons we get off track. It disrupts our loyalty. None of these people, if you've gotten off the track, none of these people are loyal anymore. Oh, you come occasionally. There may be some here today. They come occasionally. They come when their family comes. They come when it's sunshining, or they come when something else is not going on. They come, you know, how did it affect their loyalty? They're not loyal. Their heart, their mind, their soul, their body is not God's. Question is, when I fall off the track, how do I get back on? Take your Bibles. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, forget not my law. That's number one. Don't forget God's law. But let thine heart keep my commandments. That's what our heart should lead us to do. To keep the commandments of God. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now listen to these last two verses. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. If you want some words to live by, some words to put you back on the right track, verses 6 and 7 have those words. I want to give you 4, 5, 6 different things this morning that I believe will help us maintain our loyalty unto God. Number one, learn to pray and meditate upon the Word of God daily. When you look at this concept of meditation, it is to give attention to. It is to ponder. It's to consider. And the Word of God shouldn't be like water on a duck's back. It should penetrate our lives. It should enter into the very heart of our being and our existence. If it's not who we are, then the truth of the matter is, we really have nothing to do with it. There's all kinds of people in this world today that say, "I love God." Well, let's see it. Do you love God in the way you worship Him? I worship the way I want to. Well, do you love God in the way you live your life? No, I live my life the way I want to. It doesn't matter what the Bible has to say in Matthew 19, verses 1 through 9, in relationship to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Psalm 1, beginning verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. Let me tell you what kind of habit to develop. And by the way, several of you have already said, when are you going to get back to sending out the emails about I read my scriptures? Well, my cell phone was dead. It is now live. And just as soon as I get all the numbers back in it, we're going to start that up again. Why? Because this is one of the things that just struck me. Don't just read a passage to say I read 14 verses. If you don't do anything but get one word out of that passage and you meditate, you understand what that word means and make application to your life, then you're using the Bible the way God intended the Bible to be used. But if you read it and it does not change your life, it does not make any difference, then you've not meditated upon the Word of God. Not at all. I want you to take your Bibles now and turn over to the book of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to look at two verses. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. You notice how all of these things start with the law. It all starts with the Word of God. If we're going to stay on track, we've got to know what the Word of God says. All words. Which Moses, thy servant, commanded, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, because if you do, you get derailed. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now listen to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You ever had anybody say, is that all you, the only answer you can give is a Bible answer? I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember the Donahue show when Brother Garland Elkin was on the Donahue show. And he was debating that Philadelphia lawyer in relationship to what the Bible says. And I know one thing, he converted Donahue before he was over with. There's one statement at the end of the show that blew me away. After Brother Elkins very kindly, every time there was a question asked, he just said, the Bible says, and he quoted Scripture. And the lawyer asked Brother Elkins a question. Of course, Donahue's taking the microphone around in the audience and trying to get more questions and all this kind of stuff. And this guy asked the question of Brother Elkins. And the comment that Donahue made as he was streaking down the aisle is, I bet he's got a verse for that. Do you have a verse for that? Do you have a verse for why you live the way you live? Do you have a verse for why you sing the way you sing? Do you have a verse for why you worship the way you worship? Do you have a verse for why you dress the way you dress? The language you use? The TV that you watch? The music that you hear? Do you have a verse? This book is the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then shalt thou have good success. He didn't say you're going to be rich. You know what he said? He said, just like Granny, let me tell you something, she prospered. It's, you know, what does it mean when you're at a funeral and they say they went home to their reward? It's exactly that. There's a mansion prepared for them. Because they've been obedient to God's inspired word. Do we meditate upon the word day and night? Look at Psalms 19 and verse 14. Let the words of thy mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. My strength and my redeemer. the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they thy profiting may appear to all. Now look at that. Not only do we need to meditate daily, but we need to pray daily. I know my time is getting away quickly. But you spend some time looking at this concept of prayer. Look at Mark 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Look at the expression, early in the morning, rising up in the morning. Jacob is said to have arisen in the morning, and he set up that pillar and poured the oil on that stone, anointing it as a place of respect. Genesis chapter 28, 16 through 18. Samuel's parents in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 19 were said to have arisen early. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29 in verse 20. Job in Job 1 in verse 5. David in Psalms 57 and verse 8. And time after time after time, people got up. And the first thing they did when they got up is they prayed to God. Can you think of a better way to start your day than take a moment to ask God to help you withstand the trials, the tribulations, and everything that are going to face us in that day? Psalms 5 and verse 3. My voice shall hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning will I direct my prayer to thee and will look up. Luke 2 and verse 37. Speaking of Anna, it says, and she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. If you want to stay on track, put the Word of God in your heart. And then talk to your Father which is in heaven. And ask for help day and night. Second place, it's time for us, if we want to stay on track, to learn to obey God and forget the consequences. I'm way too old to quit. Hopefully, if the Lord will allow me, I'm too old to quit preaching the truth. And I'm too old to compromise. And I'm too old to give over the church to the New Age movement. Just not going to do it. There are some things, brethren, that are worth fighting for. God says, obey. Hebrews 5, 8, 9, though he were a son, yet learned to obey to the things which he suffered and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We're told in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, and Joshua 1 and verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, behold, to obey is better to hearken than the fat of rams. It's a lot better to obey God than trying to determine what you want to do, what you want to hear, what you want to say, what you want to do. Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Who's going to heaven? I tell you who's going to heaven. Those who have remained loyal. Those who, through obedience, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believe with all their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They were willing to repent of their sins, to turn from them, to confess the glorious name of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were willing to go down in the water and grave baptism and have their sins washed away. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, raised to walk in newness of life. It's a different life. Conversion means you're changed. You're not who you were. You are now yielding your life to what Christ wants. That is, if you were converted, loyal. understand loyalty. There are sons and daughters who are sitting in this auditorium this morning that if I said something about their mom and daddy, I just might have to fight them at the church, and I don't blame them. Let me tell you something. You know, there's some things you don't do. You don't talk about a guy's mom or daddy. There's a respect, there's a loyalty that's due to these folks. Why? Because of the lives they've lived, the things they've done. Why are we loyal to God? How can we stay loyal to God? Obey regardless of the consequences. Thirdly, trust in God. Let me point three passages. Psalms 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. 37 and verse 5. Commit thy ways in the land. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. I alluded to a book that Brother Gifford gave me, sent me on Wednesday evening. And I'll highly recommend this book. This is a book that each and every one of us should own, and from time to time we should read, because there are circumstances that happen in our life that make us ask why. It's not wrong to ask why. It's wrong to arrive at the wrong conclusion. It's wrong to ask why and then say it's God's fault. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God when they come in there and say your mama or daddy or your son or your daughter has cancer and there's nothing they can do? Do you trust God? Do you trust God when your children become disobedient to God? Is God still first and foremost in your life? Are you going to win your children back, or are you going to compromise? Do you trust God when you walk to the edge of that grave and say, I'll see you later? You didn't say goodbye. You said, I'll see you later. Do you trust God? The last third of this book is written from a blog. Daily blog that they posted, Michael and his wife. Her name was Shannon. We'll read two excerpts from it. Ask yourself this question: do I trust God? With each challenge we've faced, we have seen Bible verses come to life. I thought, wow. How many of us have that much trust in God that when we're facing the end, we see the reality of God's Word? Instead of saying, why is God doing this to me? Why does God not love me? Why has God forsaken me? God has not forsaken you. God has not stopped loving you. That's why He gave you this book. Because there are words of consolation that are found therein. Verses such as Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Let me flip over there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, these passages have always been meaningful and powerful because the Bible is God's living Word, by Hebrews 4, verse 12. But here in surgery and pre-op room, I actually see the peace that passes all understanding in Shannon's eyes. This is not a tumultuous time for either of us. Instead, it's an opportunity for us to enjoy God's blessings. Do you trust God? In the time of trouble, do you believe he's there? When you think everybody else in the world has turned their back, is God still there? Is God first in your life? Is he the one that you love the most? The next is entitled, Sometimes the Choices Are Made For You. Yesterday's difficult decision turned into a non-decision today, as the doctors informed us that the cancer is now untreatable. While a chemotherapy treatment could still be an option, the scan shows that the tumors are growing so rapidly that the treatment would virtually be of no effect and would, in fact, make Shannon feel worse. So now we go home to familiar surroundings, hoping to make her comfortable. She's not in pain. She's getting weaker. She also is not afraid. This is the valley of the shadow of death that the psalmist wrote of in Psalms 23, verse 4. We both know the shepherd of this psalm. And right now we are walking beside him, hand in hand. Soon I'll let go, but Shannon will continue her walk through the valley, not alone, but in the presence of the one who can safely lead her home. And I ask you again, do you trust God? Do you know and understand about the promises of God? God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to us. If somebody's leaving, we're leaving him. He's not leaving us. And again, I ask you, are you on track? Are you staying on track? If you're staying on track, in the fourth place, learn to accept God's direction. We're kind of headstrong, aren't we? We want to go the way we want to go. We want the things that we want. We've got our lives mapped out. And this is the way it's supposed to be. But how many of us ever get to just travel down that road and there's not any bumps, there's not any turns, there's not any detours? You know, anybody that lived this past week through the Ice Age, you understand detours. You understand you got to go around them. You understand that there's problems in the road, and how am I going to face these problems? Trust the direction of God. Psalms 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy hand. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes we're like Noah. In the book of Noah, he wanted Jonah. He wanted to run ahead. He wanted to run ahead of God. He wanted to make his own path. He wanted to choose his own way. Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Man doesn't want God's direction. And in a sad sense, in a sad way, I always find it sad. When man has turned his back on God, he has sought his own way, and then some tragedy happens, and then inevitably, oh my God, where were you, God? I'll tell you something. He's where he's always been. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. Our loyalty turned away from God. Learn to trust his direction. Fifth place, attendance, dedication, preparation, our participation and preparation has got to be a part of our life if we're going to remain loyal. Attendance, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling as the matter of some needs. You are not going to be what you should be if you will not yield this time frame, this period to God. There's no excuse. You say it one more time. There's no excuse for us being disloyal to God in regards to attendance. And thanking God is the problem. Dedication. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone except the way, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then I want you to back up. I want you to look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you hear that? Where your treasure is. If you treasure God, if it's not a habit to worship, but it is a responsibility, a duty owed to God, and you feel it down to the depth of your soul, you'll be here. Participation. Psalm 122 and verse 1. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord and worship. Are you glad? Are you willing to participate? And are you willing to prepare? Amos 4 verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John 3 and verse 18. And I love this expression. Every time I read 1 John, I think about John being that old man. And, you know, when we get older, we have a tendency to go one way or the other. You ever notice how old folks are described? That old cranky, you don't even want to get around him kind of guy. Our old Pawpaw. Pawpaw that loves everybody. Pawpaw that's good to everybody. John Pawpaw. My little children, he said. Look at verse 18. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then the last thing this morning. You're going to stay on track. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. Don't lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would come to you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be. Don't lose sight of that goal. Well, somebody else quit. They got mad. Don't lose sight of your goal. Well, somebody else said it was okay to worship this way or that way. Don't lose sight of your goal. Don't lose sight of what God is promising each and every one of us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 6. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight and finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, who gives me and not to be humble, and all men love his appearing. We'll close with this. If I spend time talking about loyalty as a tool, here's why. Because, folks, if we get off the track, we lose time, we lose blessings, and we lose productivity. If you're separated from God this morning, your time is ticking away. Your life is a living time bomb. You die separated from God, and you'll not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You'll hear, depart, because I never knew you. That scares me to death. I don't want to spend an eternity in that state. Time is slipping away. How are you using it? The blessings that God has promised us. benefits that we have. John 9:31 is one of the greatest ones. And it's in regards to prayer. God hears those that are obedient and faithful unto Him. That's what God hears. If I'm not loyal to God, He hasn't promised me a thing in relationship to my prayers. Not one thing. And then think about the time we're wasting. We don't need to be squabbling over things that don't matter. I need to be spending time seeking lost souls. Going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Our hearts should break this morning when we look around and we see those who are unfaithful, those who have never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What kind of influence are we having on them? Have you ever known anybody that said, well, I didn't obey the gospel for a long time because my wife or my husband wasn't faithful? It wasn't important to them. They lived a life that showed me that it wasn't important to them, so why should it be important to me? Now, let me tell you something. It happens all the time. Are we loyal? If we want the body of Christ to grow, then we need to get into it. With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul. If you're not loyal to God this morning, please change. You need to be obedient to the gospel? Come do that. You need to repent of your sins and you need to get back on track. I tell you what, we've got the cranes ready. God's crane is called prayer. If you're willing to repent of your sins, we'll pray with you and for you, and you'll be put back on that straight and narrow track.